Hello, this is Ann Studer with the Bloomington Pantograph for Monday, October the 28th. Zoning eyed for cannabis sales by Maria Nagel. The Bloomington City Council could follow in Normal's footsteps by having the city's Planning Commission begin forming zoning rules for new businesses that want to sell recreational cannabis. I want to be clear, this isn't allowing for cannabis businesses, and it's also not saying we don't want them, said Deputy City Manager Billy Tyus. It's the next step. It's a conversation starter. It's cannabis zoning only, said Mayor Tyree Renner about the measure the council is slated to vote on when it meets at 6 p.m. Monday at City Hall. Local governments do not have any authority to limit or prohibit anyone age 21 or older from using cannabis beginning January 1st, but they can decide whether to opt out of allowing the sale of cannabis in their jurisdictions. I think it's essential that we get the zoning process developed, and if the city decides not to opt out, we want to make sure there are only certain places that are zoned where a dispensary might be possible, said Renner. To meet statutory deadlines, the city has published a notice of the Planning Commission's November 13th hearing on the topic in the Pantograph, but if the council votes not to have that hearing, the hearing will be canceled, said Tyus. If the Planning Commission reviews and recommends zoning restrictions, the council would vote probably in December on whether to allow the sale of cannabis at state-licensed recreational cannabis dispensaries. City staff submitted a draft amendment defining potential operating allowances and restrictions for cannabis-related businesses, but the document is intended to serve as a starting point and not as the staff's recommendation, said Tyus. Last week, the Normal Town Council voted 5-1 to send the issue to its Planning Commission to begin addressing on November 7th similar zoning restrictions on businesses selling cannabis. Bloomington could initially be eligible for up to 2 recreational dispensaries licensed by the state. The state plans to award by May 2020 licenses for 75 new recreational dispensaries, but only one will be designated for McLean and DeWitt counties. Existing medical marijuana dispensaries, including one in Normal, can apply to add recreational sales as well as another dispensary location. Ironically, we don't have any control over that, but if we do get any, then we want to be sure that they are zoned properly, said Renner. Obviously, not have them near schools, not near residential areas. We may even require that they be zoned industrial or adjacent to industrial areas. For cannabis sales, Bloomington and Normal could see up to a 5.5% in additional tax revenue, up to 3% on top of the 8.75% local sales tax, and an additional 2.5% from the state's tax. In other action, the council will vote on whether to pay $49,810 to have the Lakota Group, a Chicago-based consultant, create a new historic preservation plan for the city. The existing plan was created in 2004. A $30,000 state grant will be applied to the cost to develop, with an extensive public participation process, a plan to guide historic preservation throughout the city over the next 10 years, said Tyus. Tree of Honor planned for Cira. The Fallen Heroes Tree of Honor will stand in the Central Illinois Regional Airport through the holidays for the third year. The tree is hosted by America's Gold Star Families, Sergeant Anthony Maddox Memorial, and the airport. The public tree lighting ceremony will be 5:30 p.m. November 18th at the airport. The tree will feature more than 275 military servicemen and women who have given their lives in the defense of our nation from all branches of service and conflicts in more than 40 states. Gold Star families will hang their hero's ornament on the tree in memory of their service, while their fallen heroes' names are read aloud. Immediately following the ceremony, attendees will be invited to participate in hanging the remaining ornaments. Chaos author pens third book. Haworth author Pete Altieri is publishing his third book, Creation of Chaos, Volume 2, through Blunt Force Press. He appeared October 26th through 27th at the Dark History and Horror Convention in Champaign and will appear November 1st at Brimfield Public Library Authors Fair and November 3rd at Bloomington Public Library's Local Authors Fair. Altieri was a finalist in the 2017 TNT Network Horror Short Contest and writes, produces, co-hosts a weekly true crime podcast, Murder, Metal, Mayhem. The book is available at creationofchaos.com or through Amazon. The Peace and Conflict Resolution Studies program at Illinois State University is accepting nominations and self-nominations for the Graybill Homan Community Peace Prize. The prize recognizes individual achievements in peacemaking, leadership, community service, and activism. The award recipient will be presented with a plaque in the spring of 2020. Nomination deadline is January 31st. Eligibility and nomination information is at https://bit.ly/2PC1FDV. Vets Day celebration set in Normal. Normal Township is honoring veterans with a Veterans Day celebration from noon to 2 p.m. November 2nd at the Activity and Recreation Center in Normal. The event will include a complimentary lunch at noon and an American Legion flag ceremony at 1 p.m. The celebration is open to the public. For reservations, call 309-888-9099. Reservation deadline is November 1st. Illinois lawmakers are returning to Springfield for the fall veto session. Here's What Could Happen by Jerry Nowicki. For the first time since the General Assembly adjourned its historic regular legislative session in early June, lawmakers will be back at the Capitol for more legislative action next week. The annual veto session, so-called because it's the legislature's first opportunity to override the governor's vetoes each year, will convene October 28th through 30th and November 12th through the 14th. While the session had served as a battleground between former Republican Governor Bruce Rauner and Democrats in the General Assembly in recent years, this year's installment will feature a state house under complete Democratic control. And since Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker completed virtually his entire first-year legislative agenda earlier this year and vetoed only 8 of the 599 bills that passed both chambers, a number of new legislative proposals have surfaced for potential action for the upcoming session. In recent days, a task force formed by Pritzker recommended the state consolidate 649 suburban and downstate police and firefighter pension funds into just two, saying the move would generate billions of dollars in additional earnings and cut administrative costs over the next 20 years. The funds would be consolidated into one each for firefighters and police. The Illinois Fraternal Order of Police Labor Council expressed strong concerns about the recommendations of the task force in a statement, while the Associated Firefighters of Illinois said it supports the recommendations. Pritzker said this week language for the bill is being put together now. There are many people who understand that if we want to keep property taxes down, we want to bring them down, that we want to stop the hikes that are occurring everywhere, we've got to attack property taxes everywhere he can, he said. One of them is to attack it by making sure that our police and fire pensions are reasonably well funded. The bill would not, however, address the more than $130 billion in unfunded pension liabilities facing state government, as the funds that would be consolidated are funded by local municipalities, not the state. Ethylene oxide. Advocates and lawmakers are backing a pair of bills to make it far more difficult to emit ethylene oxide, a cancer-causing gas used in manufacturing and medical supply sterilization processes in densely populated areas in Illinois. Those measures, House Bill 3888 and 3885, would phase out emissions of the gas except in sparsely populated areas and would allow home rule municipalities to ban emissions of the gas, respectively. Pritzker's office has said he would sign either or both of the bills despite opposition from manufacturing and business industries, and the sponsors of the bills are ready to move in veto session as well. A panel discussion of the two bills earlier this month featured a look back at the year-long process which led Sterigenix, a medical supply sterilization plant linked to an elevated cancer risk in the Willowbrook area by the Federal Agency for Toxic Substance and Disease Registry, to abandon its plans to reopen. Chicago gambling issues. In her budget address this week, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot called on state lawmakers to authorize the city to increase its real estate transfer tax to support a Chicago casino and develop a statewide pension reform package. While details of a statewide pension reform package remain murky, and it is unclear if the mayor will find support for the real estate transfer tax change, Emily Bittner, spokesman for Pritzker, said the governor encourages dialogue on the city's proposals. Cities around the state face enormous fiscal challenges, and the governor believes that balancing Chicago's budget is an important step in stabilizing our overall fiscal health to benefit all of our state's residents. The governor will encourage the General Assembly to give the mayor's proposals their full consideration during the veto sessions, she said. Legislation addressing the Chicago casino could be part of a broader package, making changes to a massive gambling expansion bill which passed in June. A feasibility study released earlier this year said the tax structure approved for a Chicago casino in the gambling expansion bill is very onerous and would create an effective tax rate of approximately 72% for the casino operator. Lightfoot is seeking changes to that, among other rewrites to the Chicago portion of the bill. Insulin costs. Democratic state lawmakers have hosted several news conferences in recent weeks calling for a bill to cap out-of-pocket insulin costs at $100 per month for some insurance plans. Senate Bill 667, Amendment 1, would create the cap on state-regulated plans, but not for those that are subject to federal regulation. Senator Andy Menar, Democrat of Bunker Hill, and several Democrats have said they want the bill passed in veto session, but opponents, including the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, Illinois Manufacturers Association, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the Illinois Insurance Association, Illinois Life Insurance Council, and the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, have all lined up against the measure. Energy and ethics. While a handful of energy reforms have all been introduced independently, the prospect of a landmark regulatory reform bill combining all or most of them has stalled amid sweeping federal investigations relating to several statehouse regulators, including at least one state senator and representatives of energy giant ComEd. ComEd's parent company, Exelon, was calling for a bill to reform electricity capacity markets in regular session, but recent news of FBI raids related to the organization's lobbying efforts has stalled any progress on that legislation. Despite calls from renewable energy advocates to pass a pair of bills dubbed the Path to 100 Act and Clean Energy Jobs Act, which they say would move the state toward a carbon-free energy future, Pritzker has said energy changes are unlikely to move in veto session. It's certainly something that's being considered as part of a broader energy package, Pritzker said, of the Clean Energy Jobs Act. Though he added, I don't know that we'll be able to get to it during the veto session. The ongoing federal probes that have seemingly delayed the energy legislation have also led one lawmaker to call for a state ethics task force to tighten ethics rules within Illinois government. Toni McComey, a Savannah Republican, said she plans to introduce that bill and hopes to have it called during veto session. There's no indication it will be called for a vote, however, as a spokesperson for Democratic House Speaker Mike Madigan said he could not comment on the bill last week as it had not yet been filed. Marijuana and vaping. Deputy Governor Christian Mitchell, who helped write the successful marijuana legalization bill earlier this year, told Capital News Illinois not to expect big changes to the legislation as part of a follow-up measure known as a trailer bill. What we have said to everyone is that the trailer bill for veto is going to be highly technical stuff that needs to change in order to ensure a smooth rollout into January 1, 2020. It is not a forum to relitigate issues on which folks lost out in negotiations, he said last month. Other issues being considered, several other bills have been filed for the veto session, but it remains unclear which ones will move. These include measures allowing college student athletes to get paid for endorsement deals, ensuring CBD products sold in the state meet testing requirements, banning red light cameras, and fine-tuning how Chicago public schools release some state funds as part of the evidence-based school funding formula. Another bill scheduled for a committee hearing would take aim at the state's teacher shortage, expanding access to monetary award program grants to those seeking their teaching certificate. Several other bills have been introduced in the House, and more are expected to be introduced in the Senate. Antique Dealers Look for New Among the Old by Kevin Barlow. Like most antique dealers, Richard Lindstrom developed an interest in vintage items as a youth, fascinated by the possessions of family members. My wife Priscilla and I have been doing this for 40 years, he said Sunday, behind his Auntie's Attic booth at the Central Illinois Antique Dealers Association show at the Interstate Banquet and Conference Center in Bloomington. Our older relatives, particularly my Victorian aunt, had really interesting things in her home. She had Victoriana, which was really interesting compared to what we had in our home. The Lindstroms were among more than 40 dealers who set up shop at the two-day event. I really enjoyed going to visit her, and she would tell me about the Oriental carpets, he said. She would tell me about some particular items had belonged to her mother, which would put some of them back to the 1870s. They all had stories with them, and they were very interesting and very pretty. The primary purpose for the event is to promote public interest in and education about antiques while conducting honest business dealings in a fair and friendly manner, he said. Priscilla became interested in sterling, fine glass, and fine china during the 1960s when she worked at Carson Perry Scott, a retail store in Urbana. The thing about antiques is that there is such a huge variety, and as the years go on, the variety gets even greater because other things grab the attention of the public, he said. It has transitioned from Victorian and primitive, and now there is mid-century modern. Industrial design is big right now. It never grows old for me. When Terry Segerbrook of Morris attends antique sales, he finds a dealer with vintage postcards. On Sunday, he stopped at the Red Coach Antiques booth and visited with dealer Phil Lewis. My old hometown was Manhattan, Illinois, and it's tough to find postcards from there, but I enjoy looking and hope to find some for Morris or really anywhere in Grundy County, Segerbrook said. I have some at home, but I also like the old depot stations. I also like the old Chicago stockyard postcards. We've been coming to this show for a couple of years now, and they just don't make stuff like this anymore, he said. My grandparents' stuff got me interested in it. I like the postcards, too. It gives you insight into the past. A lot of those old depots are gone, and that's too bad. Amanda Graham of Bloomington loves antique shopping because she likes to find conversation pieces. With the holidays approaching, I enjoy looking for something different and something that I can research and find out more about, she said. What I like about antiques are the unknown stories that are out there. Everyone has a story, and if you can find the story with the item, you found something special. Her husband, Gene, just recently got into antique shopping. I enjoy the research, and so we work as a team sometimes, he said. The last thing you want to do is pass on something interesting, then look it up when you get home and find yourself disappointed you didn't get it. Keel named Credit Union President. The Board of Directors of Bloomington Municipal Credit Union is excited to announce that Todd Keel will become the President Manager effective November 4th. Todd graduated from Illinois State University with a degree in finance and has previous banking experience. Most recently, Todd retired from a 27-year career with the Bloomington Police Department. During his career, he served in various positions, with his most recent assignment as a sergeant on the 3rd Shift Patrol Division. Todd has been active in the community, serving on several boards and committees, including Bloomington Municipal Credit Union's Board of Directors. He spent over 20 years on the State Committee for the Law Enforcement Torch Run for Special Olympics. There, he organized and volunteered to better the lives of athletes and their families. Todd also serves as the president of the Police Benevolent and Protective Association of the state of Illinois. Todd replaces Kathy Woolsey, who has served as president since 1990. She will remain on staff until her retirement in January of 2021. From the Veterans Corner by Jerry A. Vogler, Sr., the outside work and landscaping at the new Bloomington VA clinic is complete. Installation of furniture and equipment is happening now. There will be an open house at the clinic on November 7th from 3 to 4 p.m. If you want to use the Bloomington Clinic for your health care, you must transfer your VA health care enrollment to the Bloomington Clinic. If you are not enrolled in VA health care, you should enroll immediately. Contact McLean County Veterans Assistance Commission, VAC, at 309-888-5140 or visit 200 West Front Street, Bloomington to obtain an application or browse VA Form 1010-EZ. Include a copy of your DD-214. If you have a VA service-connected disability rating of 0% or above, include your latest award letter with your enrollment submission. The pantograph will have further details about the open house as the date nears. Volunteers at the new Bloomington Clinic. Every VA clinic or medical center relies on volunteers to help the clinic provide greater service to veterans when they are at the clinic. Anyone interested in volunteering at the new Bloomington Clinic should consider attending a volunteer orientation session at VFW Post 454, 1006 East Lincoln Street in Bloomington on October 28th at 1 p.m. ARC Flag Dedication Ceremony. The Normal Township Area Recreation Center, ARC, at 600 East Willow Street in Normal, will host an ARC flag dedication ceremony on November 2nd from 1 to 2 p.m. A meal will be served before the ceremony. The combined American Legion Post 635 and Post 56 Honor Guard will hold a ceremony recognizing the importance of the American flag and military service, and will demonstrate what military rites at a veteran's funeral could involve. Free dental clinic for veterans. Bloomington Modern Dentistry at 2817 Reed Road, Bloomington, will conduct a free dental clinic for veterans from 8 a.m. to noon, November 8th. Cleanings, fillings, extractions, and limited other services will be provided. One service per veteran will be performed. Contact Sarah at 309-662-5921 to schedule an appointment. The East Central Illinois Veterans Employment and Resources Fair will be 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on October 29th at the Illinois National Guard Armory, 600 University Avenue in Urbana. Over 40 employers and service organizations will be present. VA Ileana VA Healthcare System workers will answer questions about veteran benefits. The VA and the Illinois Department of Employment Services are hosting this event. America's Gold Star Families for the third year will hold the lighting ceremony for the Fallen Heroes Tree of Honor on November 18th at 5:30 p.m. at Central Illinois Regional Airport, 3201 Sierra Drive in Bloomington. This event is sponsored by America's Gold Star Families, the Sergeant Anthony Maddox Memorial, and the Bloomington Normal Airport Authority. ROTC veterans and military-connected students are invited to a networking dinner on November 19th from 5 to 6:30 p.m. at Hancock Stadium Club, 211 North Main Street in Normal. A free dinner will be served as information about how to market and brand your military experience to employers is provided. After dinner, attendees will have the opportunity to connect with employers. Reservations are required. Visit bit.ly/veterans-dinner-2019 for more information or to make your reservation, or contact the Illinois State University Career Center at 309-438-2200. Jerry Vogler is superintendent of the McLean County Veterans Assistance Commission. Turning to the Social Security section by Elaine Popejoy, Social Security District Manager for Bloomington. Affordable medical coverage is something everyone wants, especially as people age. Luckily, our nation has safeguards for workers as they get older. Millions of people rely on Medicare, and it can be part of your health insurance plan when you retire. Medicare is available for people age 65 or older, as well as younger people who have received Social Security disability benefits for 24 months, and people with certain specific diseases. Two parts of Medicare are Part A, hospital insurance, and Part B, Medicare insurance. You are eligible for premium-free Part A if you are age 65 or older, and you or your spouse worked and paid Medicare taxes for at least 10 years. Part B usually requires a monthly premium payment. You can apply online for Medicare even if you are not ready to retire. Use our online application to sign up. It takes less than 10 minutes. In most cases, once your application is submitted electronically, you're done. There are no forms to sign, and usually no documentation is required. Social Security will process your application and contact you if we need more information. Otherwise, you'll receive your Medicare card in the mail. You can sign up for Medicare at www.socialsecurity.gov/benefits/Medicare. If you don't sign up for Medicare during your initial enrollment window that begins 3 months before the birthday that you reach age 65 and ends 3 months after that, you'll face a 10% increase in your Part B premiums for every year-long period you're eligible for coverage but don't enroll. You may not have to pay the penalty if you qualify for a special enrollment period, SEP, if you are 65 or older and covered under a group health plan, either from your own or your spouse's current employment. You may have a special enrollment period during which you can sign up for Medicare Part B. This means that you may delay enrolling in Part B without having to wait for a general enrollment period and without paying the lifetime penalty for late enrollment. Additional rules and limits apply, so if you think a special enrollment period may apply to you, read our Medicare publication at www.socialsecurity.gov/pubs/, and visit the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services at medicare.gov for more information. Health and drug costs not covered by Medicare can have a big impact on how much you spend each year. You can also estimate Medicare costs using an online tool at https://www.medicare.gov/ OOPC/. Keeping your healthcare costs down allows you to use your retirement income on other things that you can enjoy. Social Security is here to help plan a long and happy retirement at www.socialsecurity.gov. In Names and Faces, Dave Weth of Normal will have a photograph on display at the American Association for the Advancement of Science, Washington, D.C., beginning in November through February of 2020. His photo of a green bee on a purple flower, which won the National Wildlife Magazine contest in 2017 and was on the magazine cover that year, has been selected for the exhibition. Under Scholarship and Aircraft Association, Josh Kerner of Bloomington has received a $10,000 scholarship for flight training from Experimental Aircraft Association Chapter 129, based at Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington. The Ray Aviation Scholarship Program is administered by the Experimental Aircraft Association in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Kerner is training at Parkland College's Institute of Aviation, Willard Airport, Champaign. Master Gardeners. Several McLean County Master Gardeners received state awards at the Illinois Master Gardener Conference in East Moline. The Outstanding Master Gardener State Award, which recognizes the top 2% of Illinois State Master Gardeners, went to Susan Crumbaugh, Joe DeVore, John Eltrick, Karen Irvin, and Denise O'Brien. The Sustained Excellence Award, which honors previous winners of the Outstanding Award, went to Pat Episcon, Carl Hedding, and Elaine Yoder. The Teamwork Award went to Deb Curcio, Joe DeVore, Karen Irvin, Chris Kraft, Sue Stroyan, and Elaine Yoder. In other scholarships, Gibson Area Hospital Foundation has awarded 9 scholarships to employees of Gibson Area Hospital or their immediate family members after receiving an anonymous gift for that purpose. Recipients representing communities from throughout the hospital provider area include $20,000 scholarships. In Hall of Fame News, Bloomington, Willie Holton Halbert of Bloomington has been selected for induction to the Hall of Fame at her alma mater, Thornton Township High School in Harvey. Candidates are selected based on their contributions to the educational mission of Thornton and distinctive accomplishments in their post-secondary career fields. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half of the Pantograph for Monday, October the 28th. Please stay tuned.